Gromas by sending ships, we'd come to Findar.
Or he hedged his bet,
Arto said.
Capital ships at Gromas. He and Vader here.
Teller shook himself alert.
Doesn't much matter now.
He turned to Kala. How much time do we have?
A quarter hour,
the Korovar told him.
Marking that,
Arto said. How far to the nearest jump point? Salik swung to the navicomputer. We need to get out of the way of Findar and the principal moon. Then you've got some fancy flying to do first, Teller said. Keep us as close to the tanker as possible, and protect the hyperdrive generator at all costs. A couple of errant beams and everything's toast.
Don't we know it?
Kala said. Salik laughed shortly and madly.
If you think that'll keep Vader and Tarkin from firing, you're your own worst enemies.
Teller ignored the remark and looked at Anora.
Get your cams ready.
Stay on my left wing,
Vader told Tarkin over the tactical net as they fairly fell out of the escort, five additional pairs of V-wings at their backs. The mammoth cylindrical tanker was straight ahead of them, profiled against the planet and with the carrion spike just beginning to drop beneath it. The shipjackers intent on putting the tanker between themselves and the approaching starfighters. With the corvette all but wedded bow to stern to the tanker, there was little point in enabling the ship's stealth system. Schematics of the carrion spike's airframe and hyperdrive generator had been uploaded into the targeting computer of each starfighter and astromech, as well as into the fire control systems of the Goliath. A precise strike from whose larger guns could be enough to immobilize the corvette. The squadron pilots reported in by call signs, yellows 3 through 12, as they formed up on Vader's black starfighter and accelerated toward the tanker. Our goal is to force the corvette to lower its deflector shields before we return fire, Tarkin said through his helmet headset. Once we've done so, our priority will be to target the hyperdrive generator, which is aft of the main guns along the corvette's spine. A chorus of distorted voices acknowledged the directives.
Affirmative, yellow 2.
Tarkin's right hand nudged the joystick, while his left made adjustments to the instruments. Little more than a single pilot fuselage pod, sitting on vertically stacked ion engines and flanked by deployable heat-radiating stability foils, the V-Wing had been designed for speed and nimbleness, at the expense of a reliable life support system or hyperdrive. Twin ion cannons bracketed the long, wedge-shaped prow. It had been years since he had piloted one, and despite the spaciousness of the cockpit and the broad view through the paned transparasteel canopy, he felt claustrophobic, strapped into the seat by safety webbing and encumbered by gloves, flight boots, and helmet. With the hinged targeting computer intruding on his portside view, the cockpit seemed more suitable to a double-jointed Geonosian. The old Delta 7 Aether Sprite was roomy by comparison, the Arc 170 luxurious. Things could have been worse, however. The Goliath could have been carrying a squadron of the new and seemingly disposable TIE fighters.
Commencing attack run,
Vader said. With the astromech chirping commands to the inertial compensator, Tarkin fed more power to the engines to stay abreast of and slightly behind Vader, and plummeted toward the tanker. Immediately he realized that the shipjackers were not simply attempting to hide. They were executing what amounted to a slow roll that was keeping the vulnerable dorsal surface of the carrion spike facing the curved hull of the much larger vessel. As the corvette disappeared behind the port side, Vader climbed, determined to fall on the ship, only to find when he and Tarkin arrived that the carrion spike was showing them her belly rather than her spine. They unleashed a hail of ion cannon fire regardless, and came about for another rapacious run. The corvette upside down on top of the tanker by then, and beginning to arc down along the vessel's starboard hull, her positioning jets flaring. Descending, the carrion spike fell prey to four starfighters, which unloaded on her, taxing the resiliency of her powerful shields, but emerging from the confrontation unscathed. Not until the corvette was tucked safely behind the tanker once more did she reply, with powerful volleys from the lateral laser cannons that caught Yellows 7 and 8 and disintegrated them. Jinking at the outer edge of the field of fire, Vader and Tarkin followed the ship into her second revolution, hammering away at her as she crawled out from beneath the tanker, but with no tangible results. With Tarkin still clinging to the Eta II's left wing, Vader powered out of his dive, rolled over, and rushed to re-engage, coming dangerously close to the tanker in an effort to squeeze himself between it and the ascending Carrion Spike, and forcing Tarkin to decelerate into a tandem position. Fire from Vader's ion cannons coruscated across the corvette from bow to stern, but the shields continued to hold, strengthened, Tarkin guessed, by rerouting power from the cannons and sub-